The beheadings of Paul Johnson in Saudi Arabia and others in Iraq go beyond mere execution, according to commentator Steve Prothero.
In Alice in Wonderland, a sadistic queen of hearts runs around yelling, "Off with their heads," and her executioner dutifully carries out her orders. Then the Cheshire Cat appears and miraculously renders all but his grinning face invisible. "Off with his head," the queen commands, prompting a surreal debate about whether, as the king insists, anything that has a head can be beheaded, or whether, as the executioner argues, you can't cut off a head unless there is a body to cut it off from. Recently, the Queen of Hearts has visited both Iraq and Saudi Arabia and haunted the dreams of Americans, filling their nights with the names of Paul Johnson, Nicholas Berg, and Kim Sun-il. We recoil, of course, not just at the loss of these innocent lives, but at the manner of the killings, graphically conveyed to us on videotape and performed in the name of God. Terror of this sort is not just murderous, it is symbolic. It attacks minds as well as bodies, confounds our tidy conceptions of body, soul, person. Beheading is, of course, an ancient form of execution, and while there is historical precedent for Muslims taking the heads of their captives by the sword, the practice is by no means confined to Islam or the Middle East. Goliath was decapitated in the Old Testament, and the head of John the Baptist was delivered up in the New. During the Reign of Terror in 18th century France, the guillotine claimed the lives of tens of thousands. Oddly enough, Enlightenment values, such as egalitarianism, prompted the introduction of this new technology to Paris. Decapitation had previously been confined to elites, but the French determined it was good enough for anyone found guilty of a capital crime. For centuries, beheading has been seen as a relatively benign form of capital punishment, as opposed to, say, stoning or drawing and quartering. But it was gradually replaced by more humane forms, such as lethal injection. And by the early 20th century, it was abandoned by the Western democracies. Today, the punishment is confined to a few countries in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia among them. Freelance beheading of the sort practiced on Mr. Berg is, of course, very different from state-sponsored decapitations, if only because it is done by less experienced hands. And the recent spate of beheadings has been condemned as barbaric, not only by President Bush, but also by Muslims worldwide, who decry them both as immoral takings of human life and as prohibited mutilations of the human body. Like Muslims, Jews and Christians have long affirmed the sanctity of the human body. The doctrine of the bodily resurrection, developed by Jews and affirmed by Christians, is motivated in large measure by the belief that a person is a mysterious unity of body and soul. So to bring that person into eternal life, you need not only to redirect her soul, but also to reassemble her body in paradise. According to this worldview, bodily fragmentation is a great evil, and bodily wholeness a great good. Beheading is an affront, therefore, not only to the sanctity of life, but also to Western understandings of self and afterlife. These videos upset our sensibilities and our symbolic worlds, and surely the people who made and distribute them understand as much. When Paul Johnson's head is held up like a trophy, where is Mr. Johnson himself? Is his soul in his head or in his torso? Will his body ever be reassembled? And where are the souls of his pious executioners? These are disturbing questions, nearly as disturbing as the videos themselves, and they will continue to haunt us each time these executioners grin and yell, "Off with their heads."
Steve Prothero of Boston University's Department of Religion. He's also author of American Jesus, How the Son of God Became a National Icon.